You're listening to Cinematic Adventures, proud member of the Misfit Faction Media Network.
Good morning, Vietnam!
I love the smell of napalm in the morning.
You're gonna need a bigger boat.
I feel the need for speed.
Roads, we're going, we don't need roads.
Snakes, why did it have to be snakes?
Vices? We don't need no vices. I don't have to show you any stinking vices.
You make me want to be a better man.
Nobody puts baby in a corner.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
Love means never having to say you're sorry.
He's looking at you, kid.
Not bad. I'm just drawn that way.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Cinematic Adventures. If you're listening to us on the go, you can catch us on Apple Podcasts, Podbean, Spotify, YouTube, pretty much anywhere you can listen to a podcast. Just want to give you guys a heads up real quick. We are going to be talking about a movie that is near and dear to all to our hearts, but we're going to be probably a little crude in this episode. We're going to try our best, but it's going to be difficult. On that note, I am Sean. I am one of your hosts. With me in the studio is Paul. Paul, how are you?
I'm doing all right, Sean. I am really excited to not be on Stitcher today.
Oh, thank you. Yes, I will never live this one down. It's funny, I have to admit. I don't even know what Stitcher is, honestly, to this day.
I used to listen to Flash TV Talk on Stitcher.
That sounds dirty.
It was a podcast about The Flash.
Oh.
Yeah, Flash TV Talk.
Nice.
Yeah, they were good.
Also in the studio, and we are going to have a little three-way action today.
Oh, wow.
It squeaks on.
Oh, wow. Thank God you did the warning now.
See? I thought about it.
Oh, my God.
And if you can't hear that laugh, then, you know, you're missing out, because it's just an infectious laugh. And that is Roddy, because Paul doesn't laugh.
No.
We've established this.
So just so you guys know, when I do and actually go edit all this and put it all together, it doesn't always pick up the laughter as words. So it counts them as
dead silence.
Silence.
Yeah.
So I have to go through each silence break to make sure I'm not taking out laughter.
So are we supposed to go, ha, 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 ha?
When we laugh now?
Yes.
Well, if you haven't figured it out by now, that's Ronnie. Ronnie, how are you?
I am doing fantastic. How about you?
Oh, I'm just great. I'm already having a fun time, and this episode's going to be really, really, really just off the wall.
Oh.
And so we have, our weekly meetings and trying to decide what we're going to talk about.
He couldn't even finish that sentence. Our weekly meetings,
trying to figure out what we're going to talk about.
Text.
And Paul's always like, guys, come up with topics. And I was like, all right, so we're going to talk about the 1998 movie Basketball. And Paul firmly believed that we had already done an episode on this. And I was like, I believe we've talked about the movie, but we have not done a full-on episode of it.
And ironically enough, we got two of the hosts of Laces Out, the premier sports podcast on the show.
That is...
When in doubt, he's always got to bring that up.
Yeah, when in doubt, Laces Out, man.
That could have been a t-shirt. You guys could have done really well.
You could still do a t-shirt. It could be a retro t-shirt.
Retro t-shirt. You guys don't even buy the t-shirts that I did make.
I'm in the process.
They're in my cart right now as we speak.
I'm creating the account and I'm setting up, you know...
You can buy them from our website. You don't have to create an
account. Birthday gifts.
I'm making new ones.
See, this. Why am I going to buy a shirt if you're just going to make a new one?
Ask me about my movies.
No, so I've got the one right now that I'm wearing. They asked me about my podcast. I'm going to tweak it just slightly because when I first made it, I couldn't get the white background out, so I had to do a white shirt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I've gotten the white background out on Canva, and now I can put it on any style of shirt. So I might do a sweatshirt or change up the colors. But also, there's going to be one for our YouTube channel.
Okay.
It's going to be the YouTube logo.
Yeah.
And it's going to say YouTube Famous, but at the top, it's going to say in small letters, Almost.
Are you able to do that?
Yeah.
Do you have to pay YouTube?
No.
Oh, interesting. No. See, this is why you are the leader of this podcasting network.
Leader of the pack.
I know nothing about copyright and all that stuff, what you're able to do, what you're not able to do.
It's fine.
We're going to get a phone call for Paul. I've been sued.
I did get our first copyright claim on an episode.
I remember that. This
is actually our second one, and it's both Marvel-based.
Really?
So, Disney. Yeah, seriously. Mm-hmm. But on our YouTube channel, we got flagged for using the Agatha All Along song.
I remember that.
For WandaVision. That's why I don't change the intros anymore.
Yeah.
And then recently I used a picture of the What If cast as the thumbnail, and they immediately copyrighted it. I was like, oh, all right. And I changed it too, and they still...
That. You already have enough money, Disney. I know you're losing a lot of money, but you still have plenty of money where you don't need to go after these small people. You know, like,
and we're small. We're small.
Because this is actually going kind of sort of off topic. But,
oh, no.
So, I don't know if you guys know the country music artist Luke Combs.
I've heard of him, yes.
Right? So, he's got, like, a company that he pays to go after big companies that are doing, like, copyright infringement, like, for, like, shirts and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this one lady was selling tumblers, like, out of her house with, like, you know, like, his picture on it or whatever, trying to raise money for her medical bills.
Mm-hmm.
And the company hired ended up suing her.
The company he hired?
The company he hired. He didn't, like, try to, like, it was just, like, literally, like, hey, I'm going to give you X amount of dollars per month, like, for you to go out and find these copywriters,
mm-hmm.
you know, so these people aren't making millions off of him, mm-hmm. right? Which most celebrities do that, if not all celebrities. So he caught wind of that, and he actually, like, told, like, gave her the money that they took
mm-hmm.
and gave her double it.
Did he seize, like, business with this company? Like,
I don't know if he seized business, but he basically was like,
yeah,
like, I hire them to go after these, you know, people that are making millions yeah. off of me. Not, you know, not like,
little,
she only made, like,
little
like a couple $100,
yeah,
you
yeah.
know, so he, like, he felt so bad that, like, he did all this
but
stuff.
If he just waited a little while, she would have become, like, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. We've been podcasting for 8 years now.
A hot minute.
You two have. I've yeah. only been a yeah. part of it for 3 years.
You've always been a part
no,
of it.
No, 4 years.
Yeah. But it's funny you talk about that considering the second half of this movie.
Yeah.
With corporate allowance and all that stuff. Mm-hmm.
So this movie is the definition of, like, 90s.
Oh, it is so
it
90s.
Is very, very
the
90s.
The soundtrack
movie.
Alone.
Oh, my God. And this is, okay, so again, you know, for anyone who doesn't know anything about this movie, it stars a, I guess at the time, relatively unknown mm-hmm. Trey Parker and Matt Stone. This is 1998. South Park literally just came on the air maybe a year earlier.
Yeah.
Like, it. To think that show's a still going is a marvel.
And still relevant.
And still relevant. I mean, they took this movie pretty much the sole purpose that they thought South Park was going to get canceled.
Mm-hmm.
So that just to say, like, that's where they were at the time. But it is directed by a man named David Zucker. He co-wrote and directed the movie. It was a part of the writing team who directed and wrote the original Airplane and also the Naked Gun films. And I believe he wrote Hot Shots and Hot Shots 2, but he didn't direct it.
Mm-hmm.
So for, you know, comedy right there. I mean, you know you're in store for...
You know what kind of movie
you're
going to
get. And he did eventually direct Scary Movie 3 and Scary Movie 4, which I know Paul actually enjoys more than I do.
I enjoy Scary Movie 3 mm-hmm. to a point,
mm-hmm. yeah.
but that's unfortunately that's kind of where it ends.
So, you know, this is a movie that I remember showing Paul for the first time, and this became... probably one of our most quotable movies.
Oh, yeah, we still quote this
movie. We still quote
this is my favorite sports movie.
That's very true.
But before we get into it, you did want to talk
about
something
else. Oh, I did
want. Yeah.
We do have some news. So we really haven't been doing the news a lot because, you know,
writer strikes and
yeah, we've been all over the place. We had the writer strike and the actor strike going on, so there really was no news coming out. But now both of those are over, and we actually had our first real award show this past weekend or the week before, and that is the Golden Globes. I'm not even going to get into the history of, you know, what the Golden Globes has gone through. It is no longer run by the Hollywood Foreign Press. I don't even know who runs it. I don't even know who votes for it. I don't even know. But we had, I guess you could say, a little controversy, not too much controversy, with the host.
Joe Coy,
who I've never heard of.
Mm-hmm.
We were discussing this. We went out to dinner, the three of us.
We actually did have a meeting.
Yeah.
We did have a meeting. But Ronnie, you know Joe
yes.
Coy.
I know a little bit of him. Yeah.
I don't know if you want to give us a little into what he is, comedy-wise.
He's just a stand-up comp that's done, I want to say, like, 3 or 4 Netflix specials.
Mm-hmm.
He's hilarious. His big stick is kind of like, he's got one where he makes fun of Asians, how you can tell Asians apart by the way they talk. He's like, oh, like, you got the, you know, the Koreans, they sound like they're always high. And, like, you know, like, I forget who it was, but, like, though, this one sounds like they're always on, like, cocaine and stuff like that. And, like, he does a lot about, like, what you see with, like, a lot of comics with their families, like, they tell stories about their families and stuff like that. And he is hilarious. He doesn't really cross the line mm-hmm. or, like, even toe the line when it comes to certain subjects. It's
all just right.
straight, just like storytelling comedy.
I want to try and watch a little because, I mean, he's just getting, like,
He's getting ripped apart.
He's getting ripped apart, not so much for the type of jokes he used. Mm-hmm. It was more just they weren't that funny.
Yeah.
Like, the guy had literally a week to freaking prep. I mean, literally, he got the job within, like, 2 weeks before the show.
And I think with a lot of controversy in the past couple years with hosts and stuff like that, and a lot of the war shows are...
I'm gonna fight the whole notion that Hollywood can't laugh at jokes. I mean, it's I find that to be ridiculous. Like, comics have been doing these award shows forever since the beginning of these award shows. I mean, Bob Hope, Johnny Carson, Billy Crystal, Chris Rock's done it, Whoopi Goldberg, Steve Martin, all famous comedians. You know, they've never been insulting. They've never been. They just make fun of where they can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The only one that really has been insulting and like just didn't give a crap about it was Ricky Gervais.
Which he was hilarious.
He was funny, but I guess you could say he went a little over the line. Yeah. I don't think he went that far over the line, but you know, I think that's where these like the hosting duties really kind of became more tougher to choose. But I feel bad for the guy. He got a lot of, you know, Whoopi Goldberg came to his defense. Steve Martin came to his defense and was like, guys, this is not an easy job. He did fine. Some of his jokes were funny, some weren't. That's how it works. That's how comedy works, guys. It can't always be perfect.
It is subjective.
It can't be perfect. So just wanted to give a shout out to that. You know, I feel bad for the guy. I'm sure his career is going to continue. He'll be fine. You know, we, of course, went through the writer's strike and the actor's strike this year. So I was going to be interested to see what movies were going to get the bulk of the nominations. And really, you know, the two big ones were Oppenheimer and Barbie, which we got over the summer.
Which is still funny as hell.
Yeah.
Did you see the picture of Ryan Gosling? I guess I'm Just Ken won the Critics' Choice Award.
But I didn't see what he did.
Like, literally, he's like looking at the camera. He's like, because I think he realized that he would have to perform it at the Academy Awards.
Oh, really?
I think that's part of like when you win like the Critics' Choice, like it's going to get nominated.
Oh, you mean Ryan Gosling.
Ryan Gosling, excuse me. I'm sorry. Did I say Ryan Reynolds?
You did.
Yeah, but Ryan Gosling's like, wait, what?
That's another thing. Like they seem to skip that every year. Like every other year, it's like 1 year they perform the songs, 1 year they don't perform the songs. Like that'd be funny if he does. I don't know if he will though.
Especially if they get all the Kens.
That would be good.
That would be great.
Still think one of the best songs ever done at the Oscars is "Blame Canada," and they got they got Robin Williams to sing "Blame Canada" at the Academy Awards. That will go down in history.
And look at how we segue back into it.
Yes, look at that.
It's like a circle.
Yeah, pretty much. So real quick, Oppenheimer pretty much took home most of the awards for the Golden Globes. Robert Downey Jr. won Best Supporting Actor. Cillian Murphy won Best Actor. Nolan won Best Director. So obviously, we'll let you know when we hear the Oscar noms, and we'll probably do an episode on that.
You don't know.
The Golden Globes are weird, man. The Golden Globes are weird. Mm. You know, a lot of times, when if you win a Golden Globe, you end up not winning an Oscar.
Nobody watches the Golden Globes, I feel like.
I used to, but just lost interest.
And I mean it more like the Oscars are the big thing.
Oscars are the big thing. They've always happened. But there's just so many award shows nowadays that you kind of get bored after a while because the same people would win all the time. But yeah. So I wanted to shoot that out there a little. But so let's go back to a simpler time, 1998, and the movie
the
Basketball.
Good old days.
We were 11.
We were 11. And I was not allowed to, we obviously probably were not allowed to see this movie.
No.
I think I was in high school when I first saw this movie.
I think I probably caught like bits and pieces of it. Like we had the black box, the cable.
Pay-per-view. I didn't know it was like a Naked Gun type movie. Right. I just thought it was going to be a gross out comedy because it's the guys who did South Park. So I can only imagine what it's going to be, you know, what kind it's going to be like and stuff. But I remember the first time I watched this and I'm just like, oh, this is just an R-rated Naked Gun. This is right up my alley. I love this.
So good.
And then I showed it to you, Paul, for the first time. And what was your initial reactions when you were watching it?
So I don't like sports movies.
No, you don't.
Like, don't get me wrong. I enjoy a fair amount, like the Mighty Ducks and stuff like that. So for me, like
Angels in the Outfield.
So anytime Sean's like, hey, I like Air Bud.
I like Air Bud Golden Receiver.
Hey, I will never forget the time that we did an episode on Rookie of the Year and Thomas Ian Nicholson or
Nicholas
liked our post.
That's still
a highlight of our podcasting career. But so like whenever Sean's like, I want to watch for movies with Sean, he's gotten much better at knowing his audience, which is me half the time. But there's always once in a while where I'm like, I don't want to watch this stupid movie. Most of the time though, he's pretty spot on. So whenever he suggests a movie, even if it sounds sportsy, like he'll never put Moneyball on for me.
No.
Like,
no.
Even though it's probably a great movie, I've never seen it.
Yeah.
It is such a fantastic movie.
I actually, on my list of movies to talk about, I actually had Miracle.
Oh, that's
good. I was like, you know.
Trouble with the Curve?
I never saw that one.
Ooh.
Never saw that one.
You guys can record anytime you want, just so you know.
How?
Zoom. Ronnie has Audacity on his computer.
Yeah. You do?
He used to do the editing.
Maybe.
He used to do all the editing.
Isn't that difficult? It's so difficult for me.
Is it really?
Yeah, I just, it's I don't know,
I just, I kind of click record and I'm done.
Yeah, and then he'll send me the audio to fix it. Anyway, but so for me, like, if a sports movie's going to be on, like I said, there are a fair amount that I can enjoy, mm-hmm. but Sean wanted to watch basketball, and I was like, I think I've seen bits and pieces, and he's like, it's the guys who did South Park. I was like, okay.
Yeah.
I think I definitely saw Start this before Team America, I want to say.
I think I saw Team America first, actually.
Really? I'm trying to think.
I don't even
like,
know what I did. Yeah.
Because I saw Team America in theaters.
Yeah. I was not allowed to watch South Park, and I never did. I've seen more of it now as an adult, and I really do enjoy, like, the pandemic specials and all that stuff.
The first season of South Park is so good, though.
Yeah, and obviously, we love the South Park movie.
Oh, yes.
It's funny, because this movie bombed. Basketball did terribly.
Bombed.
I think it would have done better.
It came out a little longer.
Little bit after, because I think Team America did well. Did well enough.
Yeah. I think Team America did pretty good.
I think they didn't have enough clout at that time. But
Team America was, we were in high school. Team America was like senior year, high school, junior
2004.
Yeah, 2004. So either junior or senior year.
Team America did $51 million.
On a $32 million budget.
Well, that's a success. Wasn't a blockbuster, but it was a success.
Basically doubled
money back.
Yeah.
Now this movie is the definition of a bomb, where it's a budget and it didn't even make half of its budget. Yeah. Like, it was a bomb.
It's got quite the cult following.
It does have the cult following. It's probably, you know, we've talked about it forever. It was a rental. I'm sure it got popular as it became a rental in many of the rental stores. And, you know, I just remember the first time I watched it, and I was just getting into sports, watching, like, you know, sports regularly, like watching ESPN, watching, you know, being a Met fan and Jet fan, and the whole, you know, the joke they do at the beginning with the moving of the franchises.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I still stand by. I think that's one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
Even I get that one. Like, because that was also my, and not to, like, don't make fun, but there are times where we watch sports movies and I'm not entirely sure what's going on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fine.
So that's like my biggest fear. Even like with a comedy like this, I'm like, am I going to get everything? I get everything in this movie.
The whole, you know, arenas being sponsored by, you know, companies. So like they have a shot of an arena that's sponsored after MaxiPad.
Yeah.
There's the whole, you know, the, what was it? The New Orleans Jazz moved from New Orleans to Utah, where they don't allow music. The Lakers move from Minnesota to LA, where there are no lakes.
Yep.
Yeah. And my favorite one is the Raiders move from Oakland to LA, then back to Oakland again. No one in LA seemed to notice or care.
Yeah.
It's just funny stuff.
So much good stuff.
And that was, I always loved that stuff.
Do you want to do the cast first or some plot points?
We can do the cast first, because it is not, you know, it's a decent cast. A lot of older, and this is again the beauty of the director David Zucker, because it's very similar to The Airplane and The Naked Gun. You're getting not comedic actors in some roles just saying funny things.
Yeah,
it works. So of course we've mentioned Trey Parker and Matt Stone are the stars of the movie. Trey plays Joe Cooper and Matt Stone plays Doug Reamer. They're childhood best friends, stoners, you know, alcoholics.
Are they actually stoners?
You never actually see them do drugs. They just drink a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
they're just slob. Yeah.
Drunk slobs.
They're men children.
They're lazy
men,
boys.
Man children. Yes.
They're lazy boys.
Stupid. You know, we're introduced to them going to a party of kids people they went to high school with. And they're just like,
they're the losers. They're like the everybody losers. Else is like wearing khakis and polos and like they try and make fun of them, but then they just like the best is, oh, you still sitting around doing nothing playing Nintendo? Well, actually I'm doing like all these things. And he's like, what are you up to? Just sitting around playing Nintendo.
Skidmark Steve. Hi, Brittany.
And we've all been at that situation. Like, you know, obviously we've graduated high school. We went to our 10-year reunion. Yeah, we did. Yeah. We went to our 10-year reunion. And I don't know, like, before we went, like, I had that fear, like, everybody was going to be super successful. Everybody was kind of where we were. Like,
oh, pretty much.
With the exception, like, half had kids, half didn't. And we were in the latter, which is fine.
Yeah, we weren't in relationships at the time.
No,
either,
no.
So, like,
we went out afterwards.
We did.
Oh, God. I don't know how I got home that night.
You still said.
Oh, God. That was a bad night. But anyway.
We have Dean Baccar as Kenny Squeak Little Bitch Scolari.
Do they ever? Oh, he does say his name is Kenny.
Yeah. And I always thought, like, is that where they got Kenny from? South Park. No, but no, they were already done. Kenny. They probably just named him Kenny because there's
because he's the little bitch.
You want '90s? You want '90s casting right here? We got the beautiful Yasmin Bleeth as Baywatch. Jenna Reed. Right. Baywatch.
Who,
I don't know
who would win in a fight: Yasmin Bleeth or Carmen Electra? Mm. Ooh. Because I was just watching Scary Movie.
Yeah, I'll go Yasmin. I'll be honest, and this might be a hot take, I did not find Carmen Electra all that amazing.
Wow.
Like, looks-wise? Or...
Yeah, just didn't do
plastic,
it for me.
Plastic floats. That's why she's in a
But then again, Yasmin Bleeth, I think, is also...
She got some work done, too,
You know, but she was just beautiful.
Yeah.
But she also had that Girl Next Door look to her.
Yep.
Yeah.
Carmen Electra did not have a Girl Next Door look to her.
No.
And then we have next, we have Jenny McCarthy...
Talk about '90s.
As a vet, Denslow. She's still pretty relevant. I mean, she does the Masked Singer.
The Masked Singer, yeah.
And yeah, she does. She's married to Donnie Wahlberg. I liked her in John Tucker Must Die. She plays the mom.
Oh, that's right.
Yep.
She's the cool mom.
And you know what I just realized? I forgot to ask Ronnie. Ronnie, when was the first time you saw this movie? I'm sorry. I didn't mean to skip over
you. He still hasn't seen it yet.
Yeah. I don't remember anything about this movie. No.
Did we make you watch it? You guys probably made me watch it.
When? I have no idea, but it was definitely a long time ago. And
Roddy was probably a good kid, and then we show up this movie, and he's like, what have I been missing?
Is that what it looks like? No. I don't remember the first time I saw this, but I do know for a fact I've seen this multiple times, and that's probably because of you. I think we've watched this together. A couple times. Numerous times.
Have you gotten... Has Melanie seen this movie?
I think so. Okay. I think she watched it once.
Okay. Yeah. That's it. Once. She's like, I'm done.
Which is weird, because she has a very similar sense of humor that I do. Like, she threw on Spaceballs the other night on a whim.
Yes.
Like, just out of nowhere. We were like sitting there, what do you want to watch? She puts on Spaceballs. So I was like, yeah! So. All
right. Now we got Ernest Borgnine as Ted Denslow, and we got Robert Vaughn as Baxter Kane.
The bad guy in this movie.
The bad guy. And both those actors obviously are... You know, big time, you know, old Hollywood actors.
Yeah.
And those are what I was referencing, how, like, with these movies, you would find these very good actors who just know how to play comedy. They're not comedic.
Yeah.
It's not a play comedy.
I'll never not laugh at the scene where he's got the listening device thing. He's like, I couldn't help it over here. And he's slowly putting it away. I don't know why.
I love the reading of the will.
Oh, yeah.
Will you all just leave so me and Coop can have a minute?
All right,
and he's just looking around.
And everybody just stays. Now that we're alone, Coop. All right.
Remember that time?
Keep going.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
You're getting sidetracked.
Okay. We got Trevor Einhorn as Joey Thomas. That's a little kid.
Yeah, that's a little kid.
Who I don't think has ever done anything much after that. And then I'm going to skip over the next one because I don't even know who that is. We have the great, Ronnie will appreciate this, Bob Costas and Al Michaels as themselves.
They are like
the full-on announcers of the sport of baseball. There's no other announcers. It's literally just Bob Costas
and
Al Michaels.
And ironically enough, they don't share a scene with any character in the cast.
They are strictly by themselves in a room.
With the exception of the one guy who's like on the TV show who doesn't say a word.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Yeah. And you also have other sport. You have Tim McCarver does a cameo in this movie.
So I'll read Kareem. Do you want me to do the list?
I'll do
the list of cameos.
Cameos.
All right, cameos. You have Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Mm-hmm.
You have Dale Earnhardt, Reggie Jackson, Jim Lamphley, Kenny Mayne.
Oh, I forgot about Kenny Mayne.
Yeah.
Tim McCarver, Pat O'Brien, Dan Patrick, Real Big Fish.
That's a band.
Victoria Silvstedt, Playmate of the Year. Robert Stack, Greg Grunberg from Heroes.
Oh, he's one of the other opposing teams.
Yeah, he's on the Jersey team. Kevin Michael Richardson and Peter, that guy.
Hey, Coop, your mom's a horrible cook.
Tuisa Sopo.
I truly believe the cameos are some of the best cameos in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
But let's get back to Bob Costas and Al Michaels because...
They're hilarious.
I mean, I don't know how... I'm sure that was all scripted because I don't think Bob Costas and Al Michaels will come up with this stuff.
No.
Bob Costas is basically playing it straight. He's playing himself. He doesn't deviate from anything else. Al Michaels, my God. The stuff that comes out of his mouth is some of the funniest stuff.
All right, so there are two lines, and we're going to say them.
Yes.
Again, Sean did give you the warning.
I did give you the warning, folks. If this is the second warning. If you don't want to hear crude stuff, then turn it off.
All the teams have female entertainers, cheerleaders. Yes. And because they don't always look like cheerleaders.
They don't, but
they go through different costume changes and different themes. Like the Roswell ones, they're aliens.
Yeah. The San Francisco ones are guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The San Francisco ferries. Yeah, okay. Yeah. All right. So maybe this movie didn't.
Ferries, not fairies. Ferries.
Yeah, like the boat.
I know.
Yeah.
Just I'm saying it for the people out there listening.
It's like the in our my wife and your girlfriend's books. Ferries with an A-E. Oh, that's right. But smut books.
Smut books.
Smut books. Nothing but smutting. This house is a house of smut.
So back to your lines.
Yeah. So there are two lines where one, he, you know, it's hard to believe that this game used to only be 5 years ago was played only in driveways. And the
Al Michaels goes.
And it's hard to believe that only 5 years ago, those girls were just in grade school. And he just looks at him like, and then, of course, there's the where he's sleeping. Oh. No, Daddy, don't touch me there.
Yeah. It's during the playoffs and they make fun of the, and this is 98. So this is like, they're making fun of just ridiculous amount of playoffs there are. Like, you know, at the time, baseball's doing its wild card.
Yeah.
I think football had just started the wild card. Basketball, there's always been too many teams in the playoffs. And they're like, they're sleep deprived. They're you know, and Michaels is passed out. Bob Costas nudges him and he goes, no, Daddy, don't touch me there.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, my God.
You know what else I liked was Bob Costas? He goes, you're excited? Feel these nipples.
That's the only time in the movie he goes off character and does something stupid.
Or even better, when the cheerleaders are performing and it just keeps coming back to him. He's like,
Oh my God. I do like when they have like a guest in the booth. It's just this random guy. It's just sitting there.
The actor,
it's an actor. I don't know if it's even anyone supposed to be famous or if it's just an extra just sitting there. And he goes, you know, he starts naming like the shows this person has done.
Recycled garbage and same old crap.
And he goes, and so we're going to talk. And then they go, oh, and then we're back. And
the guy doesn't get a word in edgewise.
Yeah. Those two, I honestly think those two steal the movie for me.
Absolutely.
Really they really do.
Have we actually said what the plot of this movie is yet?
We have not.
Okay.
You want to take that?
Do you want me to do it?
Yeah, you do it. I feel like I've been talking too much.
Quick plot synopsis. Very quick.
Quick plot synopsis.
So the story follows Coop and Doug Reamer. Coop and Reamer. They're, like we said, they're two slacker losers, didn't even peak in high school, have yet to peak, and they go to this reunion party that they weren't even invited to. And
you graduated?
They challenge two guys to a game of basketball for $50, just like on a whim, and they decide to make up their own version of it. It's not like horse. No, it's not like horse. But they start creating a baseball-basketball hybrid. We find out earlier that like Coop was like a big sports kid. He catches Reggie Jackson's
third home run, which is false. Nobody caught Reggie Jackson's third home run. Mm-hmm. It was hit the dead center field where there were no fans.
Yeah.
So
but hilarious, though.
It's still great.
But so, you know, they and the whole beginning of the movie is also like what Sean was saying. They talk about how sports are overly sponsored and money and all these
teams
things
moving and you know free agent contracts
just all the stuff about money.
Can I just say the best line when Ernest Borgnine comes up to Coop and he's like, I want to start a league, but I want it to be like the old way, you know, teams aren't moving, this and that. I want it to be, and then Coop just cuts him off and goes, when athletes felt like endangered servants.
Indentured servants. Same thing.
So they create this game that starts to pick up traction. They start playing it in their parking lot and or their driveway. And basically the game is, it's set up like a baseball diamond. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You have three different areas you can shoot, or four different areas you can shoot from.
Yeah.
It's all the bases. It's single, double, triple.
Single, double, triple, and home run.
Yeah.
And the other team is allowed to mess with you or psych you out. So the whole game
just
is
as
based
long as it's not a journey psych out.
I should have been gone. But there are rules to the psych outs, we do find out. They have the flags, but they're like oven mitts.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Oh no.
That wasn't a gay joke. That was an Australian joke. But yeah, so the game picks up steam and Ted Denslow, who's like this multi-billionaire, gets wind of it and he wants to make it into an actual sport.
Yes.
But with certain rules and caveats, especially when it comes to how much money the managers and owners can make.
Yeah.
No sponsorships, no trading players, none of these things. But then he unfortunately passes away due to choking on a hot dog.
Yeah.
Which they stop serving after the eighth inning.
Yep.
They stop serving after the eighth inning. Get this man a hot dog.
So he ends up leaving the team to Coop. Just Coop at first.
Just Coop, but on the condition that after a year, if they don't win the championship, it goes to his widow.
Yvette. I gave him the best 3 months of my life. But, and then the movie just kind of follows them as they're trying to win all these games. But then he falls in love with Jenna, played by Yasmin Bleeth, who runs a organization for kids who are terminal.
Make-A-Wish.
It's basically, the Make-A-Wish Foundation.
Yeah. And throughout the course of the movie, like, they're trying to woo her. They're trying to win games. Reamer's getting mad at him because he's not, you know, sharing the team.
Yeah.
So the movie does progress and
And there's this guy Squeak in it.
Ed Squeak. Squeak is the third friend. Kenny Squeak Scolaris.
Little bitch.
If you make fun of him like 13 or 14 more times, he's out of here.
He's out of here.
He's actually my favorite character of the movie.
Oh, he's a star. I mean, he really is funny. Yeah. Like the mask, pulls the mask off.
But, so, they also meet Joey, who's like the biggest fan, and he needs to get a liver transplant.
Yeah.
So, of course, they take him out drinking the night before.
Isn't there a Robert Downey Jr. joke?
Yeah.
Yes.
He smells like Robert Downey Jr.
His liver looks like Christian Slater's.
Oh, my God.
There's some rough ones.
Yeah.
But
so great.
We find out that the organization is going to get closed down. So Baxter convinces Reamer that they need to do a clothing line.
Yes.
And because Coop, earlier in the movie, decides he's going to share the team with Reamer. Like, hey, it's all of us.
Yeah.
Yeah. And as long as the money goes to charity. Which is why I don't get how suddenly Reamer gets super rich if all that money's going to charity.
He's probably doing stump on other sponsorships or something probably. Like that, that.
It's because of the child labor. So he's saying he's paying more when he's not.
And so we find out that the Beers clothing line was being made in like Indonesia or Calcutta.
Calcutta. Mm-hmm.
And by children.
Yes.
Yep.
So.
Oh.
So Coop goes to fix it. Reamer's like, no, I don't care. Because I don't think he actually understands what's really going on.
No,
because he's just
you think Cooper's dumb. Reamer is a dumbass.
Oh, yeah.
But at the end, they come back together and they win the championship game. Coop gets the girl. Reamer gets the widow.
Yeah.
Little bitch gets his girl, or so we thought.
Easy. Easy on that one. And it's just a happy ending for everyone.
It is a happy ending.
That was our fastest plot synopsis.
That was our fastest, because we really wanted to get to like our favorite jokes. Yeah. Our favorite.
Well, we're also 32 minutes in.
Oh, we're fine.
Okay, then.
Oh, we're
you said
fine.
You wanted lunch.
When I did want lunch, but you know, it's still lunch somewhere.
All right, so favorite psych-outs. Do you want me to go first so you guys all have a second?
Yes, you can go first.
For some reason, my favorite one is when he flips the guy off and then cuts off his finger just because the little song he does. Yeah. Some of them are really funny. And then some of them are kind of lame. But
the tinfoil one, I laugh at because it's just so stupid.
The reactions,
the reactions.
All right. Ronnie, you got one?
I think when he drinks Marlon Brando's
ass. That was mine, you son of a bitch. Damn it.
You okay, buddy? You want to talk about
it? I'm so really mad. Quite upset.
I thought he was going to flip the table for
I honestly did not think anyone would say that one.
I knew Sean was going to say that one. Oh, I just sat back and watched that show. That was awesome. But yes,
okay,
sorry.
I'm sorry. Keep going.
No, that's okay. I'm done. You can take it over if you want.
Fat liposuction on Marlon Brando's ass. Oh, why is it so salty?
Oh, God, I ate a lot of pork.
Yep.
But the guy makes the basket, and Reamer's like, oh, dude, that was a sick-ass psych. He goes, yeah, it's disgusting. He just takes another
sip and walks away. I know you already mentioned it, but basically, Squeak tries all these different masks to psych people out, and like none of them work. Mm-hmm. So finally, he just shows his regular face, and he's like about to do a psych out, and the guy's like, ah!
I like when Reamer has the shirt of the guy's wife.
Yep. And this is me.
And it's like, hey, that's my wife. He goes, yeah, and this is me.
And they're doing it.
Cooper psyching out the fat guy at the end.
By doing the Cartman voice.
Cartman voice. I remember when I first saw this movie, I was like, oh my God, he did the voice.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because like I'd never seen him do the voice. Like I'd never seen a video of him do the voice at that time. So like to hear the voice coming out of him was just really
funny. It was really good. I do like all the your sister's going out with Squeak ones.
Yeah.
And then he finally does it at the end. Hey!
Hey. And then, of course, we mentioned it already. Like, the journey one at the beginning. They don't do it once they become popular with the sport.
Yeah.
Stop touching it.
I can't help it.
That's what she said.
It's there. I just had to, you know.
When it's there in his face, he has to touch
it. So, journey psych-outs.
So, this is when they're still at their house playing it in their driveway. And, you know, and I think one, I can't remember which one of them says it. It's like, I thought we said no more journey psych-outs. I should have been gone.
Ironically,
every time we play beer pong from that point in.
Oh, yeah.
That one of us, it was always our first, like, you know, it was just given. One of us was going to say it.
It still happens. Any other psych-outs that jump to mind?
There are
all of them. I like the one where he... Was it a psycho, or did he just say it to the San Francisco ferry? He's like,
he says something.
I want to feel you. deep inside me.
Yeah, and he got the. I think he got the cardboard.
You're not allowed to touch them.
Yeah.
Like he comes up to him and he's like.
No, I think they're allowed to. Oh, I don't know. No, because remember he hits him with the beam at one point.
No, that wasn't San Francisco, but it was. Yeah. He gets flagged for it, and then Coop is just like, "Hey, come on, man, that wasn't bad." And he looks behind him because one of the walking.
Yeah, it is.
Oh my god, it was so.
How
bad.
To speak, Coop? What's up with Joyner?
So bad. But then we pass the psych outs. I mean, just some of the other jokes in this movie. So Joey is going in for his liver transplant, mm-hmm. and he of course asks Coop. He's like, "Coop, can you hit a home run for me?" And Reber's like, "Oh, that's easy,
this
man.
This is Coop
like,
Cooper you're talking about.
This is Coop Cooper. He could hit two home runs. Really? You could? Oh, that's awesome." Coop's just like looking at him going like, "Dude, shut up. Yeah. And then he goes, it's like, "Oh, he can hit three for you." He's like, "Reamer, can I bring you over here?" And then in the background, you just see him like slamming his head in.
There, I feel better now. But we will never not laugh at the scene in the hospital. So after Joey does get a successful transplant. Mm-hmm. But
there were complications. He was shouting out, choke.
We thought he was suffocating. But I'll never not laugh at the scene. So they run into the hospital because he misses the third home run because they were so drunk.
They were so drunk.
Now, first, I'm never gonna not laugh at every time they knock into Squeak and he goes flying forward. Yeah. Oh my god! They do it twice. Sean's losing his mind over there. But so first they think he got moved to the morgue. Yeah. No,
why?
Gentlemen, he's in there.
Why?
So they go to try and save Joey, or try and see if he's okay, and they keep sitting on his air tube.
Yeah.
Oh my god, he's turning blue.
This guy needs a blanket. And just, you can't even say the hijinks that happen because it just gets so wild.
Give me a couple of CCs. I've got
a sodium pentothal.
I didn't kill him. Yeah. Oh, he's got like the rib cutter in his hand.
Yeah. They were going to open him up and manually massage
him. Where are the paddle things that George Clooney uses?
Oh, not those. Oh, Squeak gets sent into the soiled linen shoot. Yeah, this movie, like I said, I think it's well ahead of its time.
It was well
ahead. Especially with the satire about like all the sports stuff. As much as you made playing in college. Yeah.
And this is 98, so this is before we got the original Scary Movie in 99, 2000. And obviously, we know Scary Movie went like 3 miles above the line. I think Basketball went like half a mile above the line. Mm-hmm. I honestly think some of the jokes, maybe you may look at them now and you're like, ooh, that's a little. I don't think they went like crazy over the line.
No.
Like, Scary Movie, some of the jokes in that movie were like, holy crap, I didn't know you could get away with things like this.
Yeah, they're still pretty.
But I love it. Oh my god, this movie is just, it really, I stand by, like, if anyone has never seen this movie, I'm like, if you like comedy, if you like satire spoof comedy, you will like this movie. So if you like Airplane, if you like Hot Shots, if you like Naked Gun, Scary Movie, if you like any of those, you have to see this movie. I think it's up there. Like, it's some just,
1,000%.
It's just hysterical. Yeah. Like, I, throughout, it's an hour and 20 minute movie. I mean, I'm probably laughing like an hour out of this movie.
Oh, 100%.
Like you gotta stop to breathe a little, but like, it's.
I still do the,
This is when we used to watch it when we were like drunk, too.
Oh, yeah. This is a great drunk movie.
This is even like, oh my god.
This is such a good drunk movie.
It really is.
Now, there were some other things. There was supposed to be a TV show.
So I just found that out today. Like, interesting enough, because David Zucker is the one who basically came up with this idea. I always thought it was Trey Parker, Matt Stone, who kind of came up with this idea, but it's not. Yeah, he originally envisioned it as a TV series, and they actually filmed a pilot episode with Chris Rock, of all people. It doesn't say when this happened, because Chris Rock is in mid-90s, is fairly popular. So I'm surprised they got him to do it. So that would have been, I wonder if that's available. It's been filmed.
Yeah, it's probably in some vault somewhere.
Yeah,
but then originally Chris Farley was wanted for this role.
Yeah, mm-hmm. This is Chris Farley peak, Tommy Boy, Black Sheep.
Yeah.
Can't see it.
I can't see it either.
No. He's just, that's not his humor.
Him and David Spade.
Like, they have a totally different, like, I don't think they, like, even Chris Rock, like, for something like this, I don't think
No. That'd be tough.
Yeah. But, oh, my God.
Who do you think would play Coop and Reamer now?
That's a great question.
It's a tough one, right?
Like, easy answer straight off top of the head, Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah, Ryan Reynolds would be a good choice.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of some underrated people who really could pull off this stupidest humor.
Kevin Hart and Chris Rock.
Kevin Hart and
Keenan Thompson.
Kenan and Kel.
Kenan and Kel.
I'd watch that movie, actually.
God, I actually would watch that movie. Yeah. That'd be really good.
The Rock and Kevin Hart.
Oh, God.
But actually, I would love it if they did, like, a Rock type, like, actor who's, like, big and strong, but he's really bad at basketball.
Vin Diesel.
Shaq.
Shaq.
I never make these. Yes. Oh, God. I'm trying to think. I don't know who else, like, off the top of my head, who would be a lot of fun like this. Tough.
Like, the easy answer is definitely Ryan Reynolds.
Who would he play? Who would be? I could see him as maybe Coop.
Yeah, he wouldn't be able to.
Yeah,
do
but you need somebody who's also funny. It's not like you need a straight man. You need someone. It's very Jim Carrey, Jeff Daniels. You need something.
Yeah.
Not even like that. You need something where they're both stupid. They're both funny. They're both like.
Oh, you know what would be fun? Ryan Reynolds and Paul Rudd.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That would, like Paul Rudd, like forgetting Sarah Marshall. Paul Rudd. My name's Kudu. What does it mean? Chuck. Like I can see
Michael
that.
Neil Patrick Harris as Reamer. He looks the character. Yeah. Right? I don't know if he could.
Seth MacFarlane and Neil Patrick Harris.
Christopher Mintz, please, as Squeak.
Just the entire cast of Superbad.
Yeah.
Michael Cera.
Try to watch Michael Cera.
Michael Cera is a little bit sclarty.
Actually, after watching This Is the End, where Michael Cera is like the asshole version of himself, it's actually really funny. And like McLovin's like very conservative, and he's like, I've never done cocaine before. What are you doing? But any final thoughts? Did you want Star City rating?
We did not do a Star City rating. Would you like to go first?
I'm going to give 13. It a 4.5 out of 5.
Wow.
It is not because of quality.
No.
It is because this is one of my feel-good, funny movies, and you never see it on TV. Yeah.
No.
This movie is never on.
I think it's because of some of the stuff that you get in it. Where
no, I think just
Squeak
because...
talks about, you know, doing the dirty with the dead mom.
Oh, yeah. Your mother's deaf. Yeah. My mother's dead, you little twerp. I guess
that's why
she didn't move around a lot.
Oh, my God.
Freedom!
I'm trying to... First of all, if you put this movie on TV, it would be just absolutely cut.
I can see it on, like, IFC. I'm surprised they haven't shown
Maybe.
It yet.
Maybe. Because IFC doesn't cut their stuff?
No.
I thought they still cut certain things.
No, everything's unedited.
Is it commercials on IFC?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's going to get cut because of commercials.
Amazon Prime.
Not content.
$4.29.
Not content-wise. They don't cut the content.
No. I'm not saying they're going to bleep out anything, but they're still going to cut the movie. Like, for you to see it...
No, they show every movie in its entirety.
Really?
Yes. All right. That's, like, their promise at the beginning of every movie.
Okay. Interesting. I did not know that. Okay. Yeah, no, you don't see this movie on TV anymore. I even back when it first came out, I think you only ever saw it on, like, obviously...
Like, Stars.
Pay-per-view the cable channels. You'll never see it... Like, even Comedy Central, like, would never show this movie now.
No.
Because, you know, maybe 90s... Comedy Central, early 2000s Comedy Central might show it, but it's funny too because you, obviously South Park is still relevant. It's still
still
going strong.
Yeah.
So you would think you would want to from the guys who gave you South Park come and see their first.
Well, that's how they produced or marketed Team America.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah, like they
were
also
they were known by then. Mm-hmm. You know, so
especially like all the like the award shows that they would go to, like wearing dresses and stuff like that.
They
like,
were high as a...
Didn't they do this on South Park?
Do what?
Basketball on South Park?
I
thought they did. Like an
You're
episode.
Talking about out of the 25 years that show's been on, I've watched a combined maybe one season of it.
Yeah.
It's like The Simpsons. I wasn't allowed to watch The Simpsons when I was a kid, so I never watched it until it became available on streaming, and then I binged it, and it's like.
But you still can't watch The Boys.
No.
Weird.
You can't even compare The Boys to The Simpsons. God.
Yeah.
Just true. All right. So, Paul, you gave it a 4.5. Ronnie, how about you?
I mean, my heart is saying 4.5.
My mind's telling me no.
But I feel like it can't be a 4.5. Mm-hmm. Like, I give this a 4. Though.
Okay.
I think this is a 4 because it's one of those, like, it's like a... One of those, like, it's a bad movie, but it's, at the same time, a good, funny, humorous movie. Like, I could watch this from morning to night, nonstop, anytime. It's one of those few movies that I'll just watch no matter what. But I also know it's not really that good of a movie. You know, like, it's nothing to rant and rave about. It's just one of those, dude, this movie's hilarious. But it's also... For certain people, it's not everyone's cup of tea because of the comedy that's in it. It's not like...
It's gross-out comedy.
Yeah. You know, like Spaceballs is different. Like, anyone could find Spaceballs funny for the most part.
Well, I mean, and now that you brought up Mel Brooks, I mean, if you look at Mel Brooks, the man can do gross-out comedy. Mm-hmm. Just watch History of the World Part 1.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, the man can do gross-out comedy, but it's also like he's known for doing more subtler, you know, not too over-the-top comedy.
What about you?
I'm going to go like between a 4 and a 4.5. I'm sorry.
4.25.
I love this movie. I really do. I think it's an underrated gem of just a satire movie, because we all know, we all love them. The Naked Guns and all that stuff. I love that type of humor. And now that I've been a sports fan for 20 plus years, and just looking back on it is just, it hit the nail right on the head with the jokes and all that stuff that was going on back then. I'll recommend it to anyone. If they're looking for just a funny movie to watch, I'll be like, listen, if you guys are okay with gross out comedy, watch this movie. If you don't like it, fine. If you do, you're welcome. Yeah. Like, that's how I feel. So, yeah. And it's a shame that it didn't do well, but, you know, what are you going to do?
It's one of those. I think if you'd say, based off of how many people have watched it via VHS, DVD, streaming, whatever it is, it would have made its money.
Yeah.
You know, probably. Nowadays. You know, but back then in 98, nothing out there was like this. You know, this was made for, like, your teenagers, but...
Yeah.
Also, at the same time, it's like, this is 1998, teenagers weren't really into sports, so why am I going to watch a sports?
Teenagers didn't exist in 1998. But also,
were teenagers really into that humor? Like, the spoof humor, like... You know, I'm really interested to be like, you know, like those movies were probably geared to adults. They weren't geared to teenagers because the adults found that stuff funny, seeing like actors they grew up with, you know, playing dramatic roles, doing funny comedy, you know. So again, I kind of agree with Paul that if the movie was done maybe 2-3 years after South Park had started and was a huge hit, and maybe the movie would have done a lot better.
Because also, they would have rode the controversy wave of South Park.
Probably. Yeah. Absolutely. Like,
I mean, still, not as much anymore, but South Park, one of the reasons I respect South Park more than some of your other shows like Family Guy and The Simpsons is that they will attack everyone.
Yes.
They go after everyone and everything. Mm-hmm. Family Guy has gotten a little bit more towards the liberal side in terms of their comedy, which is fine, whatever. I still find, especially early Family Guy, really funny.
Yeah.
The Simpsons I never really got into. I just started watching Bob's Burgers for the most part, and it's funny. But like when you look at South Park, South Park attacked everyone. Like even like what was the episode with Muhammad where they have to block him out?
Yeah.
Like they got death threats. They got like all sorts of things.
The whole like the difference between Japanese and Chinese culture.
Like they don't care.
No, they
and
don't.
And I respect them for it. And I think
they care, but they don't care when it comes to making the show.
Yeah. So for them to then like if basketball had come out maybe 2 years or maybe a little bit more, maybe 3 years, where every parents group was like, hey, you can't be killing a kid every episode and the controversy and this and that. All those teenagers would have been like, I want to go see this movie now.
Yeah.
So I think it was a victim of poor timing.
Yeah.
Not That's so much actually quality. Well said. I agree with everything you just said there. I think it's, and again, you know, the movie wasn't made by, they had no control over like the writing of the movie. Mm-hmm. So it would have been a totally different movie, I think, if it was made a couple years later, because I think they would have had more control over
A 1,000%
and all that. And we obviously saw what we got in Team America. That's, we got to possibly maybe do that soon, because now that we've done this movie, we got to ride the wave and do a Team America movie, because that movie is just so ridiculous.
Yeah.
It really is. But this was fun. Thank you, everyone. And, you know, obviously to have Ronnie here is always a treat. To some people. We won't say who it does. Not a treat, too.
I left his microphone on.
That's so true. So thank you, everyone, for listening. And now, what do I got to do? Paul, you do the exit intro.
So if you guys are looking for more of our content, if you guys are looking for more of our content, you can always find us on our website, themisfitfaction.com. We have links to all of our shows, including this one, The Multiverse Fancast, and MF Uncensored. You can also check us out on YouTube. Our channel's been doing really well. We appreciate all the success and fans on there, so make sure you guys check that out if you want to see more of the video content, like the interviews we've done. You can also find us on all of our social media. We're on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, Facebook. Just type in Cinematic Adventures or The Misfit Faction. Odds are you'll find some of our stuff. We also have two brand new YouTube channels that dropped. We have Fit Misfit, which is so hard to say. I really didn't think that one through. And this week, Mythology Misfits. So make sure you guys check those out and like, comment, subscribe, and all that. I'm done.
Oh, good. Thank you. Do we have a fan feedback Friday?
Maybe. I don't know.
See, it's funny. I'm on Facebook to look right now, and the most recent post on our Cinematic Adventures page is from August of this year. And so I know we've had plenty of posts since then.
So
Facebook is weird with it.
So fun fact, whenever I go to post from Podbean, it'll flag every once in a while. It'll flag that post as spam, and it won't tell me until hours after it's been removed, so I have no idea.
I'm pretty sure you posted one, and I just don't remember what it was.
That's like, probably fair.
Okay. Well, okay, I'm sorry, folks. Didn't mean to psych you up there. But we'll have one for the next time, hopefully.
Yep, that's going to wrap us up.
That is going to wrap us up. As always, I'm Sean.
And I'm Paul.
I'm Ronnie.
And we'll be back in, not a flash, but soon.
Oh, my God.